Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
In the news this morning, Sirianni is really excited for Eagles to visit the White House to celebrate the Super Bowl win. The Philadelphia Eagles are heading to the White House later this month, and their head coach is honored to be part of such a long-standing tradition. Eagles coach Nick Sirianni said that he was, quote, really excited to go to the team's upcoming White House visit while speaking to reporters in Florida for the NFL annual meeting on Tuesday. Quote, what an honor, Sirianni said. Quote, what an honor to be able to go to the White House. Teams have been able to win championships, have been doing that for a long time, and I'm really honored to go and really excited to go, unquote. The Eagles have not revealed which or how many team players will attend the visit.
Yeah, I think Stalker was trying to figure out which players are definite no's. I've set the over-under, I think I said a few weeks ago, like 47.
So even if you...
Out of...
53.
I'm so sorry.
Out of 53.
Okay.
Even if they don't, even if they aren't current players, right, if they've been traded or whatever, they still can go.
Yes. Yeah, they still got a Super Bowl ring, they're still on the Super Bowl team.
C.J. Gardner could still go?
Correct.
But he won't.
Okay.
Brandon Graham...
Sorry.
No, Brandon Graham, I don't think... I hate to say it because I know he's so beloved down the hall.
Yeah, yeah.
But do you see him going?
I don't know. I've never really gotten... I'll be honest. My belief is that more players in the NFL voted for Trump than any other sport. That being said, this Eagles team has done a very good job of staying out of politics. The players. I don't hear many political opinions or social commentaries for many people on this roster currently. So I don't have a gut feeling one way or the other, although I do think a majority will go.
I can't imagine a big, burly, masculine football player voting for Kamala. Like, that doesn't...
doesn't vibe with you.
Like, what does that person look like?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, honestly.
6'2", 225.
You don't know the woke...
I don't know. I feel like it's, you know, I mean, I'm on the show for a reason. I think, you know, voting for Kamala, especially as like a big burly dude, is kind of a beta move.
It is a beta move. I agree.
Is that rude to say?
No, it's not. I support that message 1,000%.
Okay, good. All right. Moving along, Governor Josh Shapiro says, quote, people will suffer, and Pennsylvania Republicans have mixed views of Trump's tariff plan. With President Donald Trump announcing a new round of tariffs that could spark a global trade war on Wednesday, at least one Republican lawmaker from Pennsylvania expressed skepticism about the president's plan. U.S. Rep. Mike Kelly, a Republican from Butler County, owned and operated Kelly Automotive, a group of auto dealerships in Butler, for years before joining Congress. Given car parts are made all over the world, Kelly said he was unclear how Trump's tariffs would work. Quote, I've done it all my life, and when I look at it, how do you break this out? Because the supply chain is global, right? Kelly told the Inquirer on Capitol Hill on Wednesday. Quote, so if a Chevy truck is assembled in some other part of the world and a Korean car is assembled here, I mean, it's like, wait a minute, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how he'll slice it up or how he's going to dice it up.
I guess he wasn't around the first time Trump was in office and imposed tariffs. Like, I love how everybody, whether it's either the fear porn of the, oh my God, we're going to get hit with tariffs, it's the end of the world, inflation's going to rise, which it could. I don't know what's more confusing, the fear porn of it, which we've kind of grown accustomed to, or the fact that these guys are like in business, yet they don't understand the concept of a tariff. You could legitimately spend 10 minutes on the internet and understand the way tariffs work. This is not complicated economics, especially when they tell you the percentage. They hit us for 100, we hit them for 42% or whatever it is. By the way, the charts will be up in the Big Take this morning.
Great. Wavy lines painted on a road in Montgomery County to, quote, calm traffic. This was an interesting local story. A new traffic pattern in one Pennsylvania township has left most residents outraged and others convinced it was an early April Fool's Day joke. Lines were painted in a wavy pattern along Gray Lane in Montgomery Township last week. Police say the traffic calming measures, quote unquote, were installed in response to numerous complaints from residents about the roadway becoming a, quote, speedway. Our highway safety officers and traffic engineers have determined that this is the best course of action for the area to ensure the safety of local residents.
It's on YouTube.
Ridiculous.
It's on YouTube, if you want to see it.
Yeah, if you're watching right now on the YouTube chat, you can see the So what's the point of that? To stop people from speeding?
Yeah.
It has a calming effect, Greg.
Calming?
That's what it said, to calm traffic.
If every other road in Montgomery County wasn't under construction or littered with potholes, you wouldn't have speeding situations in breakaway roads like that.
This is supposed to be calming? To see a wavy line?
I mean,
I feel like I was drunk.
Like, I know. Yeah, I know. I don't get it either. The residents don't either. Some people still think this is an April Fool's joke, and many people have said that this is, quote, the dumbest idea ever, unquote.
In April Fool's, I mean, that's a pretty elaborate April Fool's joke, no?
Yeah.
Because then they have to repaint it.
And that's in a neighborhood. I mean, that's a relatively benign road. That's probably a 35-mile-an-hour speed limit road, right?
You know what's interesting? On Byberry Road, right before you get to Woodhaven, they have these, there's like a school zone, and they just put in these like bumps, like, you know, like speed bumps.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that really works. I mean, I hate it because it you know, you can usually
jolt you
fly right down that road, but then you have to go over it. But like that's I don't understand this.
No.
I mean, that's just.
No, and I'm not going in that traffic pattern either. I'm not bopping you. I'm going straight the whole way.
Can you imagine a dumbass who's going to just kind of, you know, follow the wave, you know, follow the line and just keep going?
Yeah, that dumbass would be me.
Yeah.
For sure.
Like, well, it's got to
be very much a rule follower.
It's got to be here for a reason, right? Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Although, if you look down at the end of the road, you see that car that's kind of sitting there on the left.
Yeah.
I'd love to be a police officer and that be a cop car and be the first guy to pull somebody over for not following the pattern.
Yeah. Some instant feedback. PA Pyrotechnic fan says, Eagle owner is woke like all NFL ownership is.
Well, yes.
Yes, there's no question about it.
That doesn't mean his players are, though.
Jeffrey Lurie. And you go to the White House, no matter who the president is.
Agreed.
Lastly, because sports, right? We like sports.
Yeah, thank you.
Zach Wheeler dominates as Phillies collect series win over the Rockies. Zach Wheeler took the mound Wednesday at Citizens Bank Park for his first home start of the season. Where he dominated for 7 innings, allowing 1 run on 3 hits. Phillies ace collected his first win in 2025 with a 5-1 feat over the Rockies and put a bow on the outing with his 26th career double-digit strikeout game.
The Phillies are 4-1 now. The Dodgers are 8-0. The Padres are 7-0. The Giants are 5-1. And the good old Atlanta Braves, 0-7!
Boy, you really have a... I know you used to work down there, buddy,
yeah.
But you really have a... You really have a blank on for them, don't you?
I mean, look at the record. 0-7.
Yeah.
I mean, they might be mathematically eliminated before tax day.
Yeah.
At this rate.
Now, I know you guys like football, but is baseball also something you follow closely?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
yeah,
okay,
absolutely.
Right, of course.
This town is, well.
I've actually placed tariffs on the Sixers and the Flyers.
Yeah,
so bad.
Yeah, we're I mean,
we're a two-sport city now.
Yeah, it's just baseball and football.
Yep.
Football way ahead of baseball, but
yep.
Gotcha.
And,
but that's where it ends. No basketball. Of
well,
course, no soccer.
The problem is our basketball team sucks. So they're kind of the
okay.
Flyers just fire their head coach. So they're no good. So it's
you say soccer, okay. Soccer, Anna?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Maybe I should say hockey before soccer.
Yeah, well, hockey's bad as well.
Thing,
but
right?
Well, soccer's not an American sport.
Right, yeah.
It's not a man
football,
sport either.
Right, of course.
Road Warrior says about the wavy lines, try smoking a bowl and then driving down that road. Yeah, that's a good point.
I'll pass.
I would just...
Soccer's like, I would.
In my, you know, 17, 18, I may have seen lines that look like that.
Yeah,
as
right.
I was driving.
Anna, have you ever seen lines like that?
No. No, I've never seen road lines like that. No.
Okay.
No.
But have you ever seen lines like that at all?
This is a trick question.
He's asking if you imbibe, and you don't have to answer.
Would you and Stocker been a great party back in the 90s?
No comment.
Okay.
Well, not me in the 90s. I was like, 10.
Okay.
All right. But yeah, maybe in the early 2000s.
All right.
Had
so,
some fun.
I feel so old. Everybody's younger than me.
I know. Stocker's the old man. Here.
Not by much. Greg, don't feel too bad.
I get you.
I'm right behind you.
Yeah.
All right, I'm sorry. Do you have a sponsor or anything?
No, I think we're good.
All right, we're good. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to the big take on the other side.
By the way, great job, Anna.
Yes.
Oh, thanks.
She'll be doing
reading.
News. She'll be
awesome.
News. Thank you for reading. We appreciate it.
Good job.
I got you.
There
yeah.
you go. Big take when we come back. Liberation Day and the Lost Truth. It's Kale and Company. Anna Hummel is in for Dawn Stensland. Sean Farris joins the party at 7:30. It's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Let's get down to business here on this Thursday morning, post-Liberation Day, with another Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company,
which is brought to you by Natural Lawn of America. The Big Take, Liberation Day, and what I believe is one of the lost truths. So I don't consider myself to be a Trump apologist by any stretch. If you've listened to the show, you know I'm willing to criticize Trump or those in his administration. I consider myself more of a Trump realist. On Wednesday, April 2nd, 2025, Donald Trump put into motion officially what some are saying could go down as one of the most important days in modern American history. Time will tell how it unfolds. Will America be great again? Or will everyday Americans lose some money in the process and be angry? We shall see. But lost in the hysteria of Trump and tariffs is the biggest revelation of all, at least for me personally. In a day and age of party realignment, one thing has stood the test of time for three decades plus. Donald Trump's vision for America and the policies that he subscribes to remain the same from 1995 as they are today in 2025. We have the receipts to show you in just a moment. Old school Democrats and classic liberals who valued free speech, such as the Bill Maher's of the world, they used to be the torchbearers of the Democrat Party. Now they're the outliers, the vocal minority that shouts the loudest while canceling and censoring opposing viewpoints, has overtaken the Democrat Party. It's got socialist and communist tendencies to it. Left-wing, radical progressives with their woke ideologies, they now dictate and mandate how the left acts and is also forced to think. Republicans, such as the old guard GOP during the Bush era, Bush 41, Bush 43, conservative, stodgy, very much elitist. But now with MAGA controlling the Republican Party, it's more of a America first populist platform that values free speech, has some fun, isn't offended by comedy, won't censor you. Sure, it still has its conservative principles and values, but it's loosened up. We'll highlight the flip-flopping of Democrats as well as their hypocrisy momentarily. But first, let's get down to Trump, tariffs, Liberation Day, and staying true to what he's always been. Here was Donald Trump over 30 years ago talking about the economy, America, and its bad deals. Listen and watch.
And yet we let Japan come in and dump everything right into our markets and everything. It's not free trade. If you ever go to Japan right now and try to sell something, forget about it, Oprah. Just forget about it. It's almost impossible. They don't have laws against it. They just make it impossible. They come over here, they sell their cars, their VCRs, they knock the hell out of our companies. And, hey, I have tremendous respect for the Japanese people. I mean, you can respect somebody that's beating the hell out of you, but they are beating the hell out of this country. Kuwait, they live like kings. The poorest person in Kuwait, they live like kings. And yet they're not paying. We make it possible for them to sell their oil. Why aren't they paying us 25% of what they're making? It's a joke.
It is a joke. The days of America being a joke and being Walmart, hopefully, are over. Here was 47, some 30 years later, yesterday, delivering on what his vision has been all along. Listen and watch.
The United States can no longer continue with a policy of unilateral economic surrender. We cannot pay the deficits of Canada, Mexico, and so many other countries. We used to do it. We can't do it anymore. We take care of countries all over the world. We pay for their military. We pay for everything they have to pay. And then when you want to cut back a little bit, they get upset that you're not taking care of them any longer. But we have to take care of our people, and we're going to take care of our people first. And I'm sorry to say that. And today we're standing up for the American worker, and we are finally putting America first.
We are the biggest, baddest, boldest nation on the planet, and under 47, we're done. We're done being bullied and beaten by other countries that are beneath us. Some of the details include, Phil, please throw up the tariffs chart on YouTube if you can. For those not able to see the graphics, you have three columns, the nation on the left, what we pay them in tariffs in the middle, and now what Trump and America are charging them. And honestly, Trump went light. He could have gone harder, but I think some smart economic advisors informed him about the inflationary risks of being too reckless. For example, China, we get hit with a 67% tariff. We are now charging them 34%. The European Union charges us 39%. We are now punching back to the tune of 20%. You can see the other nations as well, including Vietnam, Taiwan, India, Japan, South Korea on the screen as well. Trump went on to say, American steel workers, auto workers, farmers, and skilled craftsmen, we have a lot of them with us here today. They really suffered gravely. They watched in anguish as foreign leaders have stolen our jobs. Foreign cheaters have ransacked our factories, and foreign scavengers have torn apart our once beautiful American dream. We had an American dream that you don't hear so much about. You did 4 years ago, and you are now, but you don't too often. Now it's our turn to prosper, and in doing so, use trillions and trillions of dollars to reduce our taxes and pay down our national debt. And it will all happen very quickly with today's action. We are finally going to be able to make America great again, greater than ever before. Jobs and factories will come roaring back into our country, and you see it happening already. We will supercharge our domestic industrial base, end quote. Trump has always been this way, policy-wise, but two things have changed in the last 30 years. Trump has switched from a Democrat to a Republican, and the Democrats of today were actually Trump 15, 20, 25, and 30 years ago. Let's examine, shall we? How about we start with just a mere 14 years ago? It was Barack Obama in 2011 talking about waste, fraud, and abuse in the government. Listen and watch.
Everyone knows that getting rid of the deficit will require some tough decisions. And that includes cutting back on billions of dollars in programs that a lot of people care about. But what should be easy is getting rid of the pointless waste and stupid spending that doesn't benefit anybody. Waste we should be getting rid of, even if we didn't have a deficit. Sure, some of these cuts aren't that big, but no amount of waste is acceptable. Not when it's your money. Not at a time when so many Americans are already cutting back. Just as families are living within their means, government should too.
Well, spank my bottom, that sounds very Dogian of Barack, does it not? Obama talked the game. Trump and Elon Musk are walking it. Listen and watch this.
Elon Musk's special government tenure is coming to an end, 130 days, I think another month. Yeah. Do you want him to stay longer, or is it time for him to go back to running his companies in Europe?
Well, I think he's amazing, but I also think he's got a big company to run, and so at some point he's going to be going back. He wants to. I'd keep him as long as I could keep him. He's a very talented guy. I love very smart people, and he's very smart, and he's done a good job. You know, Doge is, we found numbers that nobody can even believe, like $400 billion, $500 billion. It could be close to $1 trillion by the time they end on different things. And he's led the charge. And you've seen a lot of his people. And these are people that joined up. I would say the high IQ people. I like high IQ people. And they've done a great job. No, at some point, Elon's going to want to go back to his company. I will say, he's got, despite the way he's been treated, so he's an American patriot, but the way he's been treated with Tesla is just terrible.
According to reports, Musk, Doge, and the Labor Department 2 days ago uncovered and retrieved $4.3 billion in COVID fraud funds that will soon be returned to taxpayers. But what about immigration and the border? The truth, consistency, never changing versus what the Democrats have done, and they've done a complete 180. Because when it comes to immigration, the left likes to say, oh, Donald Trump, he's a racist, right? Well, then what does that make Hillary Clinton? Listen and watch this.
Shadows, if they've committed a crime, deport them. No questions asked, they're gone. If they've been working and are law-abiding, we should say, here are the conditions for you staying. You have to pay a stiff fine because you came here illegally. You have to pay back taxes. And you have to try to learn English. And you have to wait in line.
But Hillary, nobody's illegal. Hate has no home here. Trump echoes the same verbiage that Hillary Clinton echoed years and years and years ago. Suddenly, Trump's Hitler. Is Trump the radical, or are Democrats like Hakeem Jeffries and Boston Mayor Michelle Wu? You judge for yourself and decide. Here's Dollar Store Obama just yesterday. Listen and watch this.
In that referendum in Wisconsin, then you should have brought the SAVE Act, which is a voter suppression bill. that we strongly oppose to the floor this week. You could have done it. You could have done it today. You could do it tomorrow. We dare you to bring the SAVE Act to the floor. We'll have that discussion. That's voter suppression.
It's voter suppression to make sure that only American citizens are voting in American elections. Okay. Trump wants voter ID in every state, and that's considered controversial. Yet, almost every country on the planet requires voter ID. America? Well, we've got some states that do not. Oh, by the way, those are the only states that Kamala Harris won in November. Michelle Wu, Boston mayor, quadruples down yet again on illegal aliens. Listen and watch this.
What do you say to the people who... in your constituency who might feel like, hey, why are we doing this? What's the big deal with this sanctuary city thing? If people are illegally in the country, shouldn't we arrest them and get rid of them? What is the big deal?
Yeah, we are, again, we're the safest city because we're safe for everyone. In a community where over a quarter of your residents were born in another country, if people are afraid to drop their kids off at school or call 911 when they need help or share information when they actually have information to report about a crime that happened, that makes everyone less safe, whether or not you are an immigrant, whether or not you're here in this country six generations or just arrived. So we're really focused on being that home for everyone, and it's worked.
Not really. It's worked so well that Tom Homan, ICE, Kristi Noem, and the DHS have had to raid multiple areas multiple times of the greater Boston area with MS-13 and Trende Aragua gang members to ensure a safer city. How did Bostonians get conned into voting for this maniac? Could you imagine in Philadelphia, had we selected Helen Gim? Sherelle Parker, she's a bit of a doozy, but it could be far worse. The more you see the Democrats pivoting on policy or doubling down on identity politics and attempting to radicalize everything Trump says and does in this resistance movement that Cory Booker is probably still talking about, it's crashed and burned. The more you realize one thing, Donald Trump really hasn't changed. Yeah, he went from D to R, but he is what he is. He says what he believes, and then he tries to implement his vision. Liberation Day with tariffs has confirmed that. Now we sit back and wait, hoping that the American dream is achievable once again. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Which is brought to you by Natural Lawn of America. From organic fertilizer to safer weed and insect controls, Natural Lawn makes sure that your lawn thrives naturally season after season. Choose Natural Lawn and get free seeding every year by calling 800-FREE-SEED. That's 800-FREE-SEED. You can call us at 855-839-1210. Hit us up on social media at 1210WPHT. And, of course, let it rip in the YouTube chat. All right, Anna Hummel, your thoughts, takeaways, observations from Liberation Day yesterday with tariffs, as well as how Trump has been relatively consistent across the board on the big issues for 30 years, yet it's the Democrat and the Republican Party that has had realignment. Trump seems to be the one consistent over the course of time. Your thoughts?
Right. Probably the thing that comes to mind is the famous Thomas Sowell quote. I don't know if you're familiar with it, where he says the main difference between liberals and conservatives is that liberals think that there are solutions to problems and conservatives understand that there are only trade-offs.
Oh.
So, yeah, I don't know if you've heard that
before. I have not.
Yeah, it's a good one. So I apply that to many aspects of my own life, not just politics, but I think the same goes for tariffs. You know, of course, there are drawbacks to tariffs. It might increase inflation. It might increase costs of goods that Americans want to buy. But obviously, the long-term plan is to incentivize people to buy American, for foreign companies to make products in America, which would boost the economy and add to, a boost in jobs as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So I think that is understandable, and I'm open to trying new things. And I think it's wildly unfair that, you know, American products are taxed wildly abroad, and foreign companies and countries have just free reign to sell their products here in America. So it's time to level the playing field, and I'm excited to see what happens.
I agree. And look, I'm all for trying new things, and I think this administration, even compared to the first Trump administration, is going about things differently. If you view as a politician or a business owner or any walk of life, if it's broken, fix it. If it's not broken, you don't touch a damn thing. You don't try to be the smartest guy in the room and then cause an issue that wasn't there to begin with. But this is the same thing, whether it's on the economy with America, whether it's with the border. Hell, we talk about it with RFK Jr. and making America healthy again. And Stocker always talks about, I'm just glad that we're having the conversation when it pertains to food and big pharma. We have a broken system, right? In big food, big ag, big pharma, it's, hey, you're going to put all these ridiculous ingredients, dyes, certain oils. It makes us sick. It makes us fat. We end up being on pharmaceuticals. It's a big cyclical scheme to keep us dependent on medicine and our big institutions in this country. Same thing with the economy, with tariffs. Why are we paying ridiculous percentages on goods from slapdick nations and then not charging them in return? I am all for that. And the one thing I've said consistently with this is Trump hasn't lied to us about it. He said, look, this, and I'm paraphrasing here, this might suck for a little bit. It might be a little painful. I think some of the economists out there have said, look, the average American household might end up paying $3,000 more per year. A lot of us can't afford to cough up an additional $3,000. That's if this plays out the way the doom and gloom naysayers are saying it will play. I mean, we might have here in the next 2 days, 4 weeks, 6 months, a bunch of nations that all of a sudden say, all right, we're going to drop the tariffs, or we're going to lower the tariffs and meet the percentage. And Trump kind of went light on these countries as well. And just yesterday or a day and a half ago, Israel, as I'm chatting with Anna Hummel, our self-described LA Jew, her words, not
I'm
mine.
I'm not an ambassador for Israel, by the way, but,
oh, you're not?
But sure, go ahead. No.
I mean, even in light of the tariffs coming for April 2nd, Israel was like, all right, no more tariffs for America. And that's what it's about. It's a power play. It's a leverage move to get these nations to start respecting us on the business front.
Sure.
If you guys want to hear a little bit more from Trump from the Rose Garden yesterday.
Did he pave the Rose Garden? I know
not
a lot
yet,
of people were concerned
yet.
About
and,
that.
And yesterday was a little overcast, misty, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure some of these women with their high heels and their boots may have been sinking into the ground.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. all right, let's play a little bit of Trump from yesterday.
April 2nd, 2025 will forever be remembered as the day American industry was reborn, the day America's destiny was reclaimed, and the day that we began to make America wealthy again. Going to make it wealthy, good and wealthy. For decades, our country has been looted, pillaged, raped, and plundered by nations near and far, both friend and foe alike. American steel workers, auto workers, farmers, and skilled craftsmen, we have a lot of them here with us today. They really suffered gravely. They watched in anguish as foreign leaders have stolen our jobs, foreign cheaters have ransacked our factories, and foreign scavengers have torn apart our once beautiful American dream. We had an American dream that you don't hear so much about. You did 4 years ago, and you are now, but you don't too often, and for many years and decades even, you didn't hear too much about. Our country and its taxpayers have been ripped off for more than 50 years. But it is not going to happen anymore. It's not going to happen.
Let me ask you guys a question.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I always have to throw the turd in the punch bowl.
Scavengers, by the way. I haven't heard that term in a while.
I understand the whole idea of this is to, you know, the American people, the American manufacturers not being ripped off anymore by places that we need their goods and services from.
Mm-hmm.
But If the goal is to put everything, make everything, you know, made in America, Biden, you know, bought in America, you know, every company has everything, you know, right here in the United States. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know any business that does not have some sort of a supply chain from another country?
No, of course not.
So,
no.
So like,
and business owners are always going to look for the cheapest cost for their product, right?
So in the, like, Is it even possible to make every business?
No.
You know what I mean?
What he's selling is not achievable. But if we get some of it along the way, you talk about the automobile manufacturers. Was it Hyundai is investing? Is it $20 billion for a dealership? Or not a dealership, a plant. I don't know if they use the word plant anymore. A manufacturing plant for their vehicles. Mm-hmm. Is that in Illinois or Indiana? I forget which state it was, the one that's going down in Louisiana. I mean, if we're able to get some things here versus nothing here or very little here, mm-hmm. I think that's a victory. And then, oh, by the way, the jobs. I mean, we talk about it on this show a lot, Anna. I know you went to school for, what did you go to school for, psychology or psychiatry? Oh, God.
Yeah, I was evolutionary.
You ended up in radio
psychology.
Somehow? Yeah. Like me, I tried to go be a lawyer, and I ended up doing talk radio. Yeah. So
it's
I mean,
funny how that works out.
We always talk on this show about how college is a waste of money and a waste of time when you talk about, you know, walking out with $200,000 in debt. You know, if it's an Ivy League school, the schools of trades, that's where the value is. You can make $80,000 at 20 years old and not owe a king's ransom in debt. I mean,
is it possible for college to be a waste of money but not a waste of time? Because I had a great time in college.
I agree with that
so much fun in college. Was it worth the money? Probably not. No. But I mean, I'm gonna have those memories forever. Mm-hmm. Right? That's worth something.
See, that's the difference between both of you. I'm assuming you both lived on campus, correct?
Sure.
Yeah.
See, I was a commuter to Temple.
Ew,
so I never lived the party life. Well, plus I got married. I got married at 13. So
okay. What school did you do undergrad?
Temple.
Okay.
Temple, right in the heart of North Philadelphia.
All righty.
Yeah. There's a reason why I didn't want to live on campus. I didn't want to get shot when I went for a cheesesteak.
Fair enough. I went to UC Santa Barbara. I don't know if you know where Santa Barbara is, but it's pretty badass.
It looks
right
amazing.
On the beach.
When I was looking
at surf during breaks.
You know, it's funny, Otto, when I was looking at schools, I actually looked at that
Santa
school.
Barbara?
Yeah, because I was just like, so I don't really know what I want to do or what I want to be. So like, I'm just going to go to a beach party town.
Yeah, be a beach bum. Yeah, exactly.
And you ended up in Myrtle Beach, right?
And I ended up in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah.
Same, but different.
It was way cheaper. It was way cheaper.
Yeah,
it was coastal Carolina, right?
Yeah, it was.
The Chanticleers.
Yeah.
There you go.
We have to break.
Yeah. All right, 855-839-1210. We'll come back, put a bow on the first hour. If you want to jump in with the tariff talk, 855-839-1210. Then we have some stories locally. Leah Thomas, Phoenixville Schools, and then also the Nashville Police Department. No mention of...
Oh, boy.
In the final report, we'll tell you when we come back. It's Kale and Company. Stay right there.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Riley Gaines, now you see her on Fox News, Outkick, kind of the poster girl of being denied safe spaces and safe places in women's sports, the victim of Title IX. As Leah Thomas, a dude pretending to be a female for the University of Penn, defeated, or I think technically tied, Riley Gaines, who was the Kentucky swimmer. I think that was actually a tie, but I mean, let's call a spade a spade. But Riley Gaines won that if it wasn't for a dude being in the pool. So Leah Thomas is now coming out and saying that Leah will vow to keep fighting for inclusion in women's sports. Trump signed that executive order, as you guys know, back in February, banning trans athletes from women's sports. Thomas, the biological male, was at the center of that 2022 competition. Leah Thomas says, quote, this is just yesterday, "I am going to keep fighting as much as I am able to do. In order to fight the battles we need to fight, we have to stick together and support each other." She also goes on to say, or he, however you want to call it, it has to be athletes deciding for themselves where they feel, quote, most affirmed and most comfortable, having routes that are safe and non-discriminatory that allow us to access that. Thomas argued that the House, those rules, would be declared invalid and unlawful, and continues to fight this in the courts. Trump has also said that he will strip away, I should say, $175 million in funding to UPenn last month after allowing biological males to continue to take part in women's sports. I want to get your thoughts on this, Anna. The audience knows where I stand with this, where Dawn stands with this. We've talked about this a ton. But you mentioned jiu-jitsu yesterday, in the beginning of the show this morning. Mm-hmm. Now, did you compete in any athletic competitions when you were growing up? Or are you competing in jiu-jitsu competition now? I'm curious to know how you would feel if a biological male came into a women's only sport that you were partaking in and what your reaction would be.
Well, I don't compete in jiu-jitsu. Now I can't even say it. Mostly because of fear of getting injured. And I feel like I'm constantly getting just smashed on the mats anyways. But my gym is unique because I am the only female at my gym.
Okay.
And I trained with a bunch of, it's just like me and a bunch of dads. It's awesome. Actually, I really enjoy it. But there is maybe one male that's comparable to my size. He's like maybe 130 pounds. And he still whoops my butt. In terms of just strength and force. And most of the time when I'm rolling with these guys, they're not going full throttle on me, and I appreciate it.
Right.
I don't mind that there's differences between men and women. Some people are offended by that. I don't understand why any woman feels that they need to be as strong as a man. There's men who are stronger than other men. We somehow respect different weight classes. Somehow that's not a problem. You don't see a flyweight in a heavyweight competition, and nobody seems to bat an eye. But all of a sudden, yeah, it's really bizarre that we were willing to accept like intrasexual differences between the within the sexes, but then inter differences between the sexes people are up in arms about. And I definitely think there's more differences, you know, within a sex than between. I mean, we can all think of a feminine male or a masculine woman. That's not a problem. But I just don't understand why people have such a problem with biology all of a sudden. That's super offensive to people.
Or the denial that there are biological differences.
Right.
There are people out there with platforms that will argue that males do not have an inherent athletic advantage over females. Now, of course, you're going to run into these scenarios where the chick can whip the dude's butt. She's faster. She's stronger. Anna would probably carve up Greg and I in a lot of different athletic endeavors right now. I mean, look at me. I'm carrying an extra 17 pounds that I shouldn't be carrying right now. But the truth is, by and large, most of the time, the man can physically dominate the female. And we've seen all the viral clips. 6'2" guy playing basketball against 5'5" women who was a marginal male athlete and then is all of a sudden Wilt Chamberlain against females. I don't see a ton of females that are trying to transition to become men that are going into men's sports and dunking on men and dominating them. If those video clips exist, Anna, I'd like to see them, but I don't think they exist.
Yeah, let me ask you guys a question. Do you think people like Leah Thomas and Leah Thomas itself, this person, do you think that they're just like a wacko that is also happens to be a swimmer? Or do you think it's the case that they are trying to transition to like be a better athlete because they can win?
No, I think it starts with the mental health crisis, which I believe the trans thing is. I do, and we'll get to the Audrey Hale Nashville story coming up next hour. I think it's a mental health issue. It just coincides with the fact that they are an athlete, and they say, well, okay, I was like on the bench on the dudes team, but if I follow through with what my head's telling me I should be and that I should be female, well, I can be pretty damn good in female sports.
Right.
I don't think it's an excuse just to be great in sports. Like, I was an average high school football player. Average. Mm-hmm. Never once thought about, boy, you know what? If I become a chick, I could be the baddest woman at Eastern Area High School. That thought never entered my mind.
Right.
But that's not me.
Yeah, it's crazy because if you look at Leah Thomas's stats, and by the way, this isn't someone who transitioned when they were 12, even though I would have issues with that. This is someone who transitioned like a year ago or 2 years ago.
As an adult.
They were competing in male collegiate sports and then took, I don't know, a summer and a half off and then came back to the table as a woman. And I think that they were ranked like 482nd or something wild, like
way
a moderate male athlete. Takes female hormones, so actually becomes worse at the sport.
Yeah.
And then enters into the women's division and whoops ass.
Yes.
So it just kind of shows you how much worse women are at sports. I hate to say that. Yeah. You know, being a woman, right. I'm also an athlete, but I live on planet Earth. I live rooted in reality.
Yes.
And again, we're just talking about elite athletes here, you know. Yeah. There's, I could probably outrun many men on the street, you know, that are overweight or older or whatever. But when it comes to, maybe not you, Nick, but when Definitely it comes man. To, you know, elite athletes or competitive sports, by and large, every time men are going to win. And to that, I say, it's okay, and who cares if they're better?
Yeah.
Who cares? People get it so upset. Well, don't say that. Why? Who cares if they're better? It mm-hmm. doesn't matter.
I agree.
It is what it is. Live on planet Earth.
UConn women's basketball, the best college basketball program over the last 30 years in college basketball, would not be able to beat the best boys state championship high school basketball team.
Right.
Guaranteed. The best boys basketball team in high school would crush, sorry, Phil Omquist, they would crush UConn women's college basketball, the best women's college basketball. Why? Biology. 855-839-1210, the number. We'll come back. Anna's got some news for round number two, and then we'll get to the final police report of Audrey Hale in Nashville. Perfect timing because Sean Farish scheduled to join us in just about 30 minutes. Hour two is next.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.